Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to everyone that's here. It's really a blessing to be together with such nice people who take joy in the Lord. And I mean that. What a great thing to gather and see all you wonderful people. You know, today we will talk about fathers. We're going to talk some straight talk about dads, and I've got notes for you. They are in the back. I hope you pick those up. I've got a question for you right off the top. And, you know, we come from different families, obviously. We come from, you know, strange and wonderful families. And ours was strange, and yours may have been wonderful. But, you know, I've shared some stories about, I've got a question here. Regardless of the family that you grew up in, how have you, first question, right off the top. This is kind of a warmer upper question, but it's how have you prospered from things that you learned or picked up from your dad? One of my best friends would say, and I know his dad was a tyrant. He was a tyrant, and he made his son work, and he didn't care what he was doing. He was playing in a state championship football game, and he said, you're not gonna play in that game unless you get that hay wagon completely unloaded. And that would have been impossible. I mean, honestly, it would have been impossible. And this is up in Northern California, and state championship game. He called the coach, and the coach had the team come out and help him unload the hay wagon because his dad wasn't kidding. He wasn't. So if I ask my friend Dennis, Dennis Beatty, what'd you learn from your dad? He said, I learned a whole lot about sticking with a job and working and giving it everything I had. So the question is for you, too. You can start writing right now in your notes. Just go ahead. Stop and think. What did you pick up? What, like a life lesson that you picked up from your dad? My dad was kind of a tough guy, too. Our missionary, I may have told you this before, our missionary, Tom Ward, came to Christ while he was living with my family after both of his parents died. And Tom moved in. He was not a good guy. He was not living the life that he should live. And my mom and dad invited them in. At my mom's funeral, Tom got up and he made my uncles mad. He ticked them off as he talked about their brother. He said, you know, Mrs. Plug was a wonderful woman. She was just wonderful. And we all know that Mr. Plug was a really hard person to love. you know, at that point in time, you know, sometimes that was really true. I remember being down in the basement with my dad. You've heard my story about killing the ducklings. I mean, which were not really ducklings. They were chicks, baby chicks, down in the basement. And my dad said he was in the basement. This basement story, he said, was a profound lesson for him. And he repeated that lesson. He told me that lesson over and over and over again. Our neighbor was a klutz. He was like a terminal klutz. My dad was like dad could fix everything. And he was downstairs after painting a job that he absolutely hated. Hated that job of painting. He got it done as fast as he could, throwing paint everywhere. And Dad was down there kind of wrapping up the project. And this guy, Roger, was down in the basement with my dad just talking. This klutz was probably really bugging him. And suddenly Roger reached over and as Dad's wrapping it up, he picked up the lid to the paint can and he put it on top of the, they're just talking. He's not trying to teach a lesson. He just takes the lid, puts it on top of the paint can, and he reaches over and grabs a paint rag, and he lays it out on top of the paint can, and he picked up the hammer and just lightly tapped it down. And my dad didn't say anything to him. He didn't say, "Just got it, Roger. You know, I get it." But he told me about this. He said, up to that point in time, every time I put a paint can lid on, I splattered paint all over myself. You know, and Roger taught me something, even though he was a total klutz. And my dad would say, he'd point his finger at me, and he'd say, "You can always, always learn something from somebody, no matter who it is." And you know, that life lesson has stuck with me. It's impacted the way I do, the way I see people, everybody. Yeah, even you. No. Honestly, it's just, you can learn something from children. You can learn something from teenagers. You can learn something from people of all different kinds of backgrounds. Life lesson. So, how have you prospered from things that you learned or picked up, even habits that you picked up from your father? The second question is, how do your thoughts about marriage and the family and fathers matter to you? So why should we pay attention to our thoughts about marriage and family? I mean, every person in this room and every person you know, why should you pay attention to your thoughts, what you're thinking about marriage and the family and fathers? What difference does it make as to what you think about this? Well, apparently a lot of people think that our thoughts really matter. And over the last few years, we've had a lot of people dictating to us what we ought to be thinking about marriage and the family, right? Marriage, who needs it? Husbands, who needs them? I know a woman, I know a man, a pastor, whose wife and her sisters literally says, "Who needs a man? Who needs a husband? Forget it. Who needs it?" The United States military is pushing literature right now that is communicating, and literally literature that says, it talks a lot about different races. And it talks about, in that literature, it talks about how families don't need fathers. Matter of fact, families are obsolete. Who needs them? Now that's the United States military is being told to read those books. Kind of goes under the broad title of pushing critical race theory. And it's serious stuff. It's serious stuff. The nuclear family. That's racist. The nuclear family is a racist construct. Do you think it's important as to what you think about the family and about fathers? It's absolutely important as to what you think. It affects, it spreads out throughout our families and throughout our culture. And not only it's what you think, but it's also because what's knocking at our doors all the time. When I heard the statement, I'm telling you, the Bible's my book. This is the sole authority for faith and practice for me and for our church, the sole authority. But I have to tell you, in the climate that we've been in over the last couple of years, when I hear a statement like the nuclear family is a racist idea, I got to tell you, maybe I start to think. I already told you, this is my book. But your pastor sometimes feels a little bit boxed in, and I think, maybe it really is a racist idea. Maybe I shouldn't even talk about this on Sunday morning in a worship service, because the service will leak. You know, it will get out, and it's out there right now. It's right there out in the internet. This service. Maybe my thoughts, and maybe I'll be standing before some Senate and investigating committee, right? You know, I don't know, for pushing this to this people, and let's take their nonprofit status away. It's also happening in our schools and universities that this is being taught. And it's being pressed down into the lives of our students, the students that are sitting right here right now that are hopefully listening to this message, which is really for all of them, every bit of it. Because you're part of a family, and you're going to make families along the way. And you're going to live next door to families. And what we think is going to be impacted one way or the other by what we hear and by what we read. So we need to rehearse what it is that we know about the family and about fathers. There's a movie out now. I ordered it in a Blu-ray fashion, and I still haven't gotten it yet. So much for my internet skills and ordering things. But I'm quite certain that I actually paid for it already. So the title of the movie is The Streets. The Streets Are My Father. The Streets. That's my father. I wasn't raised with a father. I was raised in a fatherless home. Who needs them? Who needs fathers? Well, according to serious, even secular sociology and psychology, if you don't have a father, if you're not raised in a home with a father, you're already at a huge disadvantage in terms of things like success in school. You are. Doesn't mean that it's impossible to not have a father and succeed in school, but it's serious. And even purely secular people in studies will say you're at a disadvantaged position if you don't have a dad in the home, even a tyrant of a dad, like my friend Dennis. You are more likely to end up, hugely so, like a 70% chance greater that if you're in prison, you actually had no dad in the home, no dad in the home as you grew up. If you are facing alcohol or drug abuse, the likelihood, according to statistics, would be that you came up in a home without a dad present. Your attitude toward work and authority is impacted if you don't have a dad in a home. Serious issues dealing with work and authority and earning a living and being responsible, all impacted and impacted negatively if you didn't grow up with a dad. Malcolm X, the early 60s, who was a black Muslim, who converted to Islam and had radical ideas regarding race. But one thing stood out in all the things that I heard about him, and those are the years I was growing up. I was in high school in the early 60s, and Malcolm X was strongly, and this, what a redeeming thing for this man who had lots of wild and crazy ideas. He was strongly opposed to the welfare state. Strongly. He said that the welfare state would bind and enslave his people all over again, because it would mean, this is what it would mean, is that those black children that he cared about would grow up in a home with no dad present, and no dad would be present because it clearly would not be financially wise. It wouldn't be wise. You're going to make less money. I've heard all sorts of people say, "Well, you know, I make more money by breaking the law." You know, and no. Serious business. Pay attention to what you're thinking about marriage and the family. This next point in your message, we need to pay attention to the fact that marriage and the family is God's idea. It is God's idea. The scripture that, think about this. This is just such a happy, rejoicing song that Jasmine started out with. And likewise, Psalm 127 and 128, these songs of ascents that the people of God, ascents, they were ascending into the temple in Jerusalem, as they were going up, they sang these wonderful songs. Psalm 127, it says it's a song of ascent, a song of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house. Now, he could be speaking about the house that is a city, but it's also, this is the house that is a family. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord's involved in that house, its builders labor in vain. So having a dad or not having a dad, having a dad that is surrendered to Christ or not surrendered, these things matter. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early, you stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he, God, grants sleep to those that he loves. And a dad who raises his family knowing that God's got to do something here in my family. I can't do it. I can't do it all. Verse 3. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. The newer version of the that Jasmine read, just a newer version of the NIV, said children are a heritage from the Lord. This is a gift from God. Children are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. There's so much to just kind of wrap your mind and heart around about this text. You can just stop and think about this. Sons will stand with you. They're like arrows. They're going to stand with you against the fight. That's pretty cool, isn't it? They're like going to be like those arrows. And it's not something you can say, "Yeah, look what I did. I made these sons." No, just they're a gift from God. And they're standing by you. They're standing by you in the gate, and they're standing by you against the enemy. They're standing by next to you in the face of the culture. They're with you, and it's right as well to just extrapolate this. Children are this blessing, and they're a reward, and they are a blessing. They're like arrows standing by you. Just yesterday, I had my children standing by me, it was like they were truly arrows in the midst of the fight as they stood by me. And I wasn't fighting on the street. I wasn't battling with my fists. I was battling with my stinking mind, and I just couldn't wrap my head around how to get tickets off the internet that were already on my phone. Seriously. And they, daughter-in-law Reluca tried to coach me through that on the phone, and I just, oh man, sorry Reluca, for not listening. And Heidi has stood by me with all sorts of questions that I've had over this time. And my sons and my dear son-in-law, oh boy, what a gift he was yesterday. I was able to go to the Angel game. We were treating Morgan for, that was her graduation gift, and I thought, it's done. All is lost. I think I actually said that. Children are like, what a gift. They are a gift, you guys up in the balcony, and all of you young ones, all of you are a gift to your families. And God has you there to be like arrows in a quiver, to stand by your folks, even when you think all is lost for them. Marriage and family is God's idea. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, on through verse 9 says that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And this is what I just said. This God is saying, what I just said, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what you are to keep in front of your children. Demonstrate it. Speak it. Love the Lord. Sing his songs in front of your children. Sing the songs that God has put on your heart about him, and sing the songs in front of your kids and listen to their songs about him. Back and forth it goes. Children are this blessing, and keep this, the love for God, in front of your kids day and night. Day and night, in every aspect of life, through every season of your life, love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God made men to be men. Let me just, there's so much, these points, now I've got a lot to say, and I got to bring it in, within the next 10 minutes or so. So listen to just a few thoughts. God made us men to be men. And I'm not talking necessarily about, doesn't mean men that are pounding the table. It doesn't mean men who are picking a fight, and necessarily. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he expects us men to be men like this. Be strong and courageous, dads. I don't know how many times those two words are put together. Be strong and courageous. Stand against the fight of life. And life is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But it's going to take some backbone. Be courageous. When Joshua said this in Joshua chapter 1, God was saying it, repeating it over and over and over again. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. But he tells us where, he gives the secret as to where the strength comes from. In verse 8, when he says, "This book of the law, dads, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you and your sons and your daughters, but you shall meditate on it. This book of the law, God's word, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so as to be careful to do, not just to quote it, to do what it says. Do whatever I say. And now, O Israel, what does Deuteronomy chapter 12, or 10, Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? It'd be fitting to say, dads, if you're going to be strong, you won't be strong. You won't be strong enough. Dads and kids, you won't be strong enough if you don't fear the Lord, if you don't walk in all of his ways, if you don't love him, and if you don't serve him with every ounce of your being. You want to be strong, dads? This is the weight program. This is the weight program. And God tells us over and over again, rest in the Lord, dads. If you're going to be the man that God wants you to be, if you're going to be strong and courageous, then rest in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it means you just, like we do, we try to pray every night, and but the last words that we say as we pray is, Lord, we're going to, before we say amen, we're just resting in you now, Lord. Not just, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord might come. If I should wake before I die. Resting in the Lord, actively, when you're awake, fully awake and engaged in life. Just leaning on him, calling on him, releasing things, dropping, dads, dropping your concerns in God's hands. When you feel, dads, like you need to rush in and say something, sometimes you just, the first thing you need to do is rest in God who took care of you when you were in a tough place like your kids in right now. Just rest in him. Trust him. Psalm 1, listen to this. These are great words for a dad. They weren't just written to a dad, but guys, this is where you have to live. This has to be your address. Psalm 1, blessed is the man, happy is the man. We've talked about God blessing your life. Happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Watch who you hang out with, dads. Or stand in the way of sinners. Or sit in the seat of mockers. You'll be happy if that's not your hangout. Now, that doesn't mean you don't spend time with non-Christians, but it's really saying, be careful as to what kind of conversation or participation you're entering into with people that are mocking God or have no time for God and who will not trust him. They'll only trust themselves. Be alert, dads. And if you find yourself getting sucked into those kind of thoughts, then listen to this. The guy who's blessed is, his delight is in the law of the Lord. There it is again. And in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree that's planted by streams of water. A strong tree, right? Be strong and courageous. He is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in its season. His leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. And your children will prosper. Just don't doubt it, guys. God wants us fathers to follow his example. Some quick statements. Listen to this. God wants us fathers to follow his fatherly example. First of all, be very clear about God's will and his ways. Can you know God's will and his ways? Of course you can. Now none of us are God. We're not going to think his thoughts perfectly. We won't. I'd love to say I will, but I won't. But work at being very clear, as God is, about his will, for your family in his ways. Be confident in his will. Be confident in that will. You know, one of our dear friends lost his son in the middle of a wonderful life, all sorts of skills. The friend is in that study that we're at, and when Jim Smotherman, when they allowed me to come to the study, he said, "So Jack, you lost your son. How's that going?" And he said, simply, "God is sovereign." Be confident in God's will, in his ways. Be a father, follow God's fatherly example. Be a father to those who need a father. Be a father to the fatherless. Because there's some other kids that are going to need you, dads. Show your children, show your family how to love. You don't have to be mushy. Your life does not have to be a Hallmark card, okay? Seriously, dads, but you can love sacrificially the way he loved. And there's just no question about that. Ephesians chapter 5. As God tells dads, love your wife like I loved my church. He speaks of Jesus who loved the church and gave himself up for her. To what end did he give himself up for her? That she, his church, that's us, might be pure. Men, don't mess around outside of marriage. Period. Before marriage or after. You're not a man if you use a woman. If you use a young woman, you're not a man. You're a self-centered, selfish person. Save it for marriage. I read, part of my reading throughout the year was to read, like in two settings, the Song of Solomon, you know, and that's what you call a heavy breather. And it's why kids weren't supposed to read. I mean, they weren't allowed to read Song of Solomon growing up in the Jewish home. You know, it's a serious piece of literature. But there's this advice that comes from the pen of a very wise man. But he sure made a lot of mistakes too. That's Solomon. But he speaks in that from a young woman who says, don't let love get out ahead of you. Don't feed it. Don't think about it. And don't embrace love. That's a physical love. Until the time is right. And that's inside the bonds of marriage. Show your children how to respect their mom. Show it. Don't ever show them disrespect for your mom. Because believe me, they're going to give her the same kind of treatment. Maybe right now in the moment, they're going to treat her like, oh, mom, you know, we're there for you. But show her respect as their mom. Show your children how to listen. Show them how to listen to God, to their mom, and show them how to listen by you listening as well to them. Love wisdom and practice it. Pursue peace. Show them how to humble themselves, just like God showed him how to humble himself, didn't he? Jesus poured himself out of heaven. Show them how to fear the Lord. Show them how to worship. As I said, sing their songs with them. Show them how to serve. Show your children how to serve God. Show them how to organize their lives around the Lord, around his word, organizing their lives around him. So that how they spend money it comes into conformity to God's will and his ways. Show them how to read his word and pay attention to it. Show them how to study. Show them how to study and meditate on God's word. Tell them what he's teaching you. What he's teaching you from them. What he's teaching you from their mom. Men, show them what God is showing you. Don't exasperate them. Warn your children. Warn them. I told you I was just going to give you this list that Warn them. God warns us, doesn't he? He warns us. He's been doing this all along. He's been showing us that he is prudent, that he counts the cost as to what might happen. You know, now, let me just tell you, you guys, if you watch television at all, you've undoubtedly seen this commercial. It asks the question, are you becoming your father? Right? Are you becoming your parents? Are you becoming your, you know, can you think of some ways that you've become like one of your parents? Have your kids called you out on that? Now, my kids knew my dad. Yeah. They know I'm always going to say, do you have a flashlight? They're leaving at night. Do you have a flashlight? How many do you have? It's never quite enough. But see, it's the same sort of, that's kind of a fun way of saying, I don't even know what that commercial is for. It's probably insurance or something like that. But it's a great line. Teach them, remind them. And again, keep, just warn them. Warn them. Drive safe, right? Yep. Take initiative, guys. If you're gonna man up, that's the last point. If you're gonna man up, take initiative. Take the initiative to speak words of love to your children. Take the initiative to speak words of love to their mother. Teach them to ask forgiveness by you asking forgiveness of them from day one and throughout your life. It's time to man up and have a pure heart and clean hands. When we worship, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, but he who has clean hands and a pure heart? Be very current. Be current every single day in your relationship with God, and show them how to be current in their relationship with God. Pray for them and pray that they will grow in, like Paul writes in, what a great prayer for your kids. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, we spent a lot of time on that about a year ago, a little bit more than that. Paul saying that I pray that you will be increasingly filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Use those words as you pray for this child and this child and this child. Pray for them, that they'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will. As you pray for your grandchildren, pray that each one of them will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See their faces and pray for them. Pray for and show them sexual purity. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, because it's from your heart that all sorts of evil can flow. Guard it and watch your step. I may have read this to you before. I have a few copies of it printed down below, but I was at a funeral for Pat Murphy. Well, this is Man Pat. If you've been around this church for a while, you know we have Man Pat, Mom Pat, and Missionary Pat. all from the same family. They marched eight kids, just like the kids that are up on the balcony right now. I keep saying that because I want to make sure that they're listening, you know, because they kind of lose track, you know. This is only, you know, the old guy talking, but just listen now. Listen. Are you guys listening? Okay, good. When they were sitting down front, it was the last time they sat down front. Now they sit up there. That's okay. Man Pat, at his funeral, he was barely over 100 years old. And eight kids, most of them, they sat up on the balcony right up there. Our missionary Pat, this is missionary Pat, said, he told us one day, he said, we were sitting in the row and I was collecting dead flies and putting them on the railing there. I had a collection of dead flies, you know. And so there they were, all these dead flies. I thought it was kind of amazing. And he said, and suddenly I looked over and Mom Pat was giving him the evil eye. And he goes, oh, and he brushed them all off. Hey, but the people down here it rained dead flies, you know. And I just love this family. What a family, rich in the things of God. Rich in the things of God. So at Pat's funeral, we stood around his casket, and his son David stood up. David was still in the Air Force. He was, I believe he might have been a dean. Was he a colonel in the Air Force? Jet pilot, fighter pilot. And now he's taking over for one of our missionaries as the head of a university or a college in downtown Denver. But David said, I want to read from you at my dad, right here, at dad's service. I want to read what he wrote in my journal. You guys, I hope you all ask your dads to write in your journal. He said, I was 10 years old when he wrote this. And his brother spoke up. He said, yeah, my dad only wrote things like, leave the house and stay out of jail. But this is what he wrote. To a 10-year-old. Mother and I are thankful to our blessed Lord that he sent you to be our son and to be such an important part of our family. It is our earnest hope and desire that first of all, in life, you will really know the joy and hope and security that comes from God's word in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 in the Living Bible. This is what it says. This is the old Living Bible. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him are covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. He continues, I pray that through God's grace, you will strive for the following goals. Number one. Nine things early in life that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And he, in parenthesis, this has already occurred, but this is what we've been praying. Number two, that early in life you will commit yourself completely to his service. Number three, that you will learn to be loving and kind and unselfish. Number four, that you will study and work hard to prepare yourself for what God has in mind for you in your life's work. Study and work hard to prepare yourself for whatever he has in mind for you in your life's work. Number five, that you will use all of the strength of your youth for God's glory and not waste precious years in sin or sexual immorality. To a 10-year-old. Number six, that you would pray fervently for God's leading to the girl that he has prepared for you to marry and share your life with. Number seven, that you will study his word daily, worship him, and always find fellowship in a Bible-believing church with other believers. Number eight, that you will always love, respect, and be loyal to the country that God has seen fit to place you in, our beloved America. Number nine, that you will always love, respect, and take tender care of your mother, who has done so much in molding your life for the Lord. Love, Dad. Now, may God put that kind of a spirit in all of our hearts as dads and grandpas. Think rightly about his will and his ways for your family. Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you know us. You know the families from which we come. You know the families that are our makeup right now. You've blessed us in so many ways. And I pray you just keep reminding us to be responsible and gracious and to live out the grace that you have shown toward us in Jesus. May we know that you've chosen us, and may we represent you in a way that reflects a personal, intimate walk with you and a personal, intimate surrender to you daily. We love you, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the beauty of his countenance upon you and give you his peace and joy, now and forever. Amen.